Although Poughkeepsie is nothing but upstate to some city dwellers, it's actually more than just trees and farmland. Many legends and stories are rooted in this city of 32,000 people. Some as old as the Dutch that told tales in the late 1600s, and others as new as the stretch marks on the waitresses at the Tilted Kilt. The stories vary and are whispered among many in the city. Stories that intrigue and fascinate any who will listen. Some think that these legends should remain untouched and unspoken of, like the brutal murders of serial killer Kendall Francois, or the birthday special at Smiles. We've all heard of the tales, but we don't know what the truth is. But beyond the usual whispers of horror, I've recently been introduced to a new legend, one that has been building for over 2 years, although it appears hardly anyone has ever heard of it. It's the story of a strange transmission coming from Poughkeepsie, from some strange sex dungeon of a studio. Some say it's the end of terrestrial radio, and it's a beacon of light in the ever-expanding community that is referred to as podcasting. Others say it's just the remnants of the 90s clinging to their youth and talking too much about their bowel movements. Neighbors claim that they hear post-grunge bellowing from within the walls of the strange place. Whatever the fuck post-grunge is. Rumors of the wafting scent of bourbon belches and beer farts bring fear into their locals. Whatever the strange occurrence is, I had to learn more about it, and I decided I would go firsthand into the Cave of Mystery here in Hudson Valley. Welcome to Dead Radio Podcast.
You just love to do that, don't you?
You have my mic off?
I like it. I don't know. What tried out a new intro.
I like it. That was the folks over there at Hudson Valley Legends.
I do miss the old music, though.
Yeah?
I like our...
Yeah, I think we have a great intro. Just gotta keep it fresh.
We had to throw a curveball to Frank here.
Yeah, curveball.
Frank McGinnis from... American Film History. I almost forgot the name of your fucking band.
That's all right.
Even though I've typed it out like a dozen times.
Yeah, it's my fault.
He's here. Join us. Serenade. Brought his tiny little guitar.
Yeah.
I only say tiny little because I got my stupid jumbo in the back.
By comparison, it is tiny.
So, welcome back, everyone. Episode 103 in full swing. Coming off of the Shadow Witch High.
Yeah, that was a crazy episode.
It was a wonderful episode. Yeah. Those guys were very cool. We had Shadow Witch. I don't know. Did you listen to that episode?
I did listen.
Good
to that
boy. Episode. Good boy.
Very, very few of our guests do their homework. But yeah, I guess you had to.
Yeah.
Otherwise your jingle wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean,
are we calling it a jingle?
I don't know. You can call it whatever you want.
I feel like it's a jingle. If it's a short song meant to promote a product, which is our show, that's a jingle.
Right. Well, I mean it's
just
definitely...
don't call me late for supper.
Sure. It's definitely short.
Swing and a miss.
I haven't made the production yet for that. For a bomb.
Soon.
I knew it wasn't going to land. I don't care. But Frank dropped off some of his music and some music for us, which is pretty awesome.
He didn't drop off that music. I bought that with my own money.
He did buy this. I should have given it to you for free in retrospect.
Bought it?
But yeah. I think I'm making these by hand, you know.
No, I know how expensive that is.
It's not even expensive. It's time consuming.
Oh, I thought you were saying you bought the
Oh, no, not that. I didn't pay him for that.
The jingle music. I was just like, what the fuck?
That was kind of in trade. Like, I took some pictures and he made some music.
No, we did it. We did a sweet barter. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I forgot to send you that other picture. It'll take me like 5 minutes to take the black and white off.
Right on. Yeah. Right on. No worries.
So, yeah, American Film History is on Facebook. Facebook.com/American Film History. Mm-hmm. And they're also on Bandcamp. What did I write?
AmericanFilmHistory.bandcamp.com.
Yeah,
you can also find our stuff on Spotify, Google Play
Fancy
Music,
Pants.
iTunes, you know, Apple Music, all that stuff. So
we're on there. It's not that impressive.
I want to get those plugs in because
we're going to forget later.
I'm going to forget later.
I made this checklist today. We haven't looked at it once since the show started. Yeah.
Well, I've been a musician for a decent amount of years, and I won't forget later. So
good,
don't worry.
Good.
When did you start playing?
Well, it's kind of up for debate. I theoretically, according to my mother, I started writing songs as early as age 5. I used to call them my songs.
I bet you they were terrible.
At age 5, really I was bad. Dancing in front of like MTV to like Richard Marx or some
That's
shit.
That's dope.
At age 5, I was trying to figure out how to like get the ice cream out of the freezer without my mom noticing. That was what
That's
I was
cool.
doing.
I mean, the Richard Marx thing, maybe I should scrap one of the songs I was going to play and play Right Here Waiting instead. But you know.
That
was the song. My mom said I would stand in front of the TV with MTV was on and Richard Marx was...
Right Here Waiting?
Right Here Waiting. Right Here
Waiting
for
you,
me.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
He sounded just like that too. I swear. Yeah.
I will be. And I used to
Isn't
like
that a movie soundtrack.
I used to
or
like
something?
Rock back
it has
and
to be.
I used to like rock back and forth, like in the living room watching the fucking. She said I didn't do it to any other songs, but that one.
Right on.
And it was huge at the time. So
oh, she
was
drunk.
Well, maybe. Probably. She's probably watching right now. So, hi, Mom.
Hi, Mommy.
Howdy.
She's in Tejas again.
Tejas.
I have a package coming.
Of whiskey?
Drogas. No. Yes, whiskey, a new Fort Worth distillery.
Nice.
So, that should be good. We'll give that an old tasting. So, started at 5 years old writing songs according to your mother.
Oh, quote, unquote.
Quote, end quote.
Well, I mean, I did.
Sticking
I was
point for me.
Unless she forged it, I was shown a some kind of
oh my god, why didn't
notebook
you
that she helped me write.
Please tell
me
you brought
down.
It.
I don't have it. No.
Did you keep it?
She's
got it.
I think she has it somewhere.
She's
yeah.
got it. She's got yeah. that shit framed.
Yeah,
it's right next.
I don't know if it's framed.
She's got it in a picture box right next to your album here.
Yeah, possibly.
That's what well, mobs are supposed
shadow,
to
I have
do.
A shadow box.
If she does, she must
what
be
did
hiding
I say?
It.
You said picture box, which is like a television maybe in 1905.
Okay. Or maybe he meant like a picture frame.
Yeah. But
no,
that's
I,
a
meant,
frame. That's
I meant shadow box, oh, okay, but I said picture box because I'm an idiot. Right. Well, and I don't know those things.
You have your partner in crime here to correct you. So.
Yes.
and he will. Mm-hmm. Whether I want to, whether I want him to or not.
Okay. Self-appointed job.
Mm-hmm. It's just... You know, it's the thing from left over from high school. Anyway, what did you start playing guitar or
no?
Keys
I think
first?
I started writing sort of melodies and lyrics and singing first.
Oh, really?
And I told my mom they were my songs, and then I also apparently used to say that I would sing the wrong words to you know George Michael songs and Michael Jackson songs and stuff like that. I would sing like incorrect words. And my mom would say, yeah. Oh, it actually goes like this. You know, she wanted to help me out because I was so interested in music. But I would say, no, I like my own words better. I like to make up my own words. So that was probably
so
the first one.
That was
yeah.
the
so
first you sampling.
You were a diva then.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, I have 5 sisters, so I learned well.
All right.
But yeah, I didn't pick up a guitar really until I was 8. Yeah. And that's when I started
8,
with
huh?
guitar, yeah.
Jesus Christ. I picked it up at 13 and didn't learn shit. I mean, I played it. I was in bands, but I wasn't that good. I was like, yes, that's good enough. But, yeah, man. So, you originally Frank McGinnis in The Whim.
I was originally a lot of things.
Oh,
I've been doing this for a really long time since, I mean, you know, in one form or another since I was, you know, a teenager at, the, you know, at the latest.
Bands and whatnot?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have, like, a band that, like, what was like the bigger or like more, I hate to say successful because
no,
that's like,
there is
you know,
one.
What
is there
successful
is yeah.
before Frank McGinnis and The Whim?
I was in a band based out of Woodstock called Frankie and His Fingers.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
All right. Good for you.
Is that the one that Matthew went on tour with you?
No, that was a short-lived project called Time Travels.
Ah.
I had a lot of short-lived experimental projects.
Yeah.
But that was a really fun experience. Yeah. We should talk about that at some point.
That's why I was hoping Matthew could have come on the show.
I know.
Talk
we could have talked about our stories. Yeah. Well, it's too bad. What a wanker. He wanted to like see his awesome girlfriend or something. I don't know. But
Well,
that's incongruous. So it doesn't really follow logic. But I was in a band called Frankie and His Fingers. I would say that was the band that did the best so far.
Yeah.
We almost had a lot of cool things happen, but you know, we sort of. The way I always say it, and maybe it's a narrative I've created in my head to make myself feel better, but I always say that. We were just sort of at the wrong time of that wave that was just starting to crash from, like, you know, physical music sales and even digital music sales, like, not selling and people just pirating music, mm-hmm. you know, rampantly. And it was before streaming was a thing. So it was like a lot of the things that almost happened sort of fell through because the music business itself was, like, imploding at the time. So it was sort of crap timing on our part.
Where everyone's like, okay, we have all of this. How can we make money now doing
it?
You know, because I can't even be bothered to steal music. Can't even be bothered.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get pretty much anything everywhere for free.
Yeah, I never got into stealing music.
Yeah. Even like burning a CD.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like your buddy CD. This computer doesn't have a disc drive.
Yeah, so you go on YouTube.
I have to fire up the old computer.
Right.
To burn a CD. It's not worth it.
Yeah,
I'd almost rather either pay $10 and buy it if I have to, or if I'm just going to listen to it and not do anything with it, I just listen to it on like a streaming site or something.
Which is
I'll deal with the commercials.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's one of those things where we sort of have to just adapt musicians, you know, it's
just
like, it's not like it's changing, you know?
Yeah. When I finished playing, the last band I had was kind of like the last time I wanted to do it. That's when the CDs, it's what you were talking about. MySpace was going on. So
yeah,
you could
MySpace
put your
was
MP3s
huge.
Up
oh,
on
man.
MySpace. I had to get a special thing for Pro Tools so I could
convert to
MP3.
Yeah, I remember that whole deal. Yeah.
That was a pain in the ass. Yeah. It was like $150 and all so I could put our three crappy songs up on MySpace.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
we were all doing it too. I mean, it was fun. It was like, you know, I would say that band, if you had to say heyday, it's such a cheesy term, it would probably have been like 2005 through like 2008.
Yeah, that's about when we were playing too.
And we used to put songs up on MySpace and you kind of didn't have to do anything because it was cool during that time to go on MySpace, find your local bands,
friend
them or whatever,
time.
And then go to their shows. It was like it was actually a cool thing. It was like, and I mean, we were based in the Ulster County area, but even, you know, we would come down here and play at, you know, the various Chance Complex clubs, you know, Club Crannell, rest in peace, and you know, stuff like that. And there was a pretty good scene of like, you know, high school and early 20s. Kids that, you know.
No, there was the Hudson Valley music scene.
Yeah, it was
That was the forum I was talking about last week. Hudson Valley, it was saturated, though.
It was really, yeah.
It was outrageous.
It was a little much.
And I was part of the moisture.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I guess I was, too.
I'm gonna write that.
Yeah, make a note of that. It's funny because I think that's the Hudson Valley scene sort of, I wouldn't say that it died at all necessarily so much as like
it just didn't get popular.
It went offline. It was like it was like people were still doing everything they were doing. Everybody that was around before is still around and has been working just as hard the whole time. It's just everybody was shifting gears and saying like, okay, what the fuck do we do now? It's like everything is different. How do you like? I remember when Facebook, it was like they didn't have band pages, and it was like,
yeah, what the fuck?
Like
what
you
do
had
you
to
do?
Like make a like fake person with your band name or something, and like if you wanted to be on there at all, and it was like we were like, okay, so. For a little while, it felt like our popular free platform to have like a free almost website or home base digitally was like gone. And like, you know, we were all figuring out, okay, how do we, nobody's buying CDs or anything. I mean, when my band first started playing and first got sort of popular in the area, we, at any show, we'd sell probably at least 20 CDs. That would be like average. Sometimes there were good shows where we would sell, you know, almost 40 or something. Oh, and then shit. A bad show, we'd be bummed.
How many,
like,
how many do you used to sell, Bosh?
Zero.
We'd be
we had a three-song, we had a shitty three-song, well, not shitty, it sounded okay. We had a three-song EP that I just was like, let's just give these out for free. No one wants to buy this shit. And they were like, how many tracks were on your?
It was a six-song EP. It was sort of a long EP.
All right. And how much did you sell it for, if you don't mind me asking?
I have no idea.
$5, $3?
Probably $5.
Yeah,
but
see,
it was...
I was like, I just gave my shit away for free. I didn't care. I just wanted you to listen.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but, and we, I don't think we were at the spot where we could actually sell. Like, I didn't feel confident in somebody, you know, spending
right
money
on
my garbage.
Yeah, right on. I mean, we probably gave away way too many for free because we were always like that. We were just like, we just, you know, somebody would be like, how much are the CDs? And we'd be like, $5 or whatever they were. And they'd be like, oh, I only have $3. We're like, just take, like, we don't care. Like, we would rather you listen to the music and come back, you know. So we probably gave away. We had however many CDs made at, like, disc makers, and we probably gave away half of them or something. Yeah. So,
You went to disc makers. Course, I was sitting in my room.
Just burning them.
Burning CDs and
burning
writing
out the
on
laser
them with
on your
markers.
Laptop, yeah. I mean, we did that, too.
Hours on end.
I have one, like, it's in your handwriting. It says just, like, Life on Fire Anthology.
Was that the name of your band?
Yeah, Life on Fire, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, like, the three
sounds
songs
familiar,
that you
honestly.
Guys did... like in a studio, mm-hmm. and then it was like four or five other songs that were just recorded in somebody's basement.
It was a SM58 hanging from the ceiling into a four track,
and that's it. That's dope.
It was
that's like,
and I like kind of I mastered it. I'm using that
okay.
term very loosely.
You pulled everything above 5K down.
Yeah. I just
and
like,
tried to beef up everything like below 100K, make it sound
Oh, right.
Not thin. Yeah.
Let's get nerdy.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'll sit over here and get drunk. I've been recording and producing my own music. I mean, I was doing the whole four-track thing, you know, I probably got my first four-track when I was 12 or something. So.
Oh, so it was just given to you and you learned, that's how you learned?
Pretty much. I mean, the first thing I was doing, that's how I learned recording. I mean, the first thing I was doing with recording was just like an old double tape deck that had like a internal mic.
Yeah.
And
okay,
it was like
that's,
an old
that's what
you know,
I used
1990s,
to do.
Like, you know, Sony.
I had a mini cassette recorder sitting on
the
shelf
pretty cool.
and just playing.
Yeah. But I used to make those tapes all the time, and they weren't multi-tracked. A bunch of friends of mine knew this trick with a double tape deck where you could like, you could multi-track by like, if you had two, you recorded one onto the next one, a layer, and then you did a new layer and recorded that onto the next one.
Yeah, you wiped that one, and then,
it was like, so I tried to do that, like, once or twice and got too impatient. But eventually, like, I asked for a four-track for Christmas, I think, and it was like, you know, Musician's Friend or what was, I don't maybe my dad picked it up physically up in Albany at that, what was that huge guitar shop in Albany.
Oh, like, I don't even know.
It was not Drone Sound. It was like, anyway, it was a huge guitar shop over there. I think he got it from there. It was on sale, like a Fostex, like their lowest end.
I was going to say, it was either a Tascam or a Fostex.
Little tiny Fostex that was like, maybe it was on sale for like $50 or something. And that was like my one Christmas present. And, I mean, I would just sit in my garage. We had an upstairs level of the garage, and I would sit there, you know, in the summer, you know, until it was, like, way too dark. And, like, you know, my dad would come in, and there were, like, light switches downstairs, and he'd turn them off to, like, turn the power off. It's like, it's 10:30 at night. You have to stop, you know, or even later. But, yeah, just
stop expressing yourself and go to bed.
No, they were – I mean, I'm fortunate. My parents are super, super supportive pretty much, like, from the beginning of all that stuff. But it was, like, a limit. It was just, like, we had neighbors. I was always sort of a belting, loud singer, and I'm just doing this stuff, losing track of time. But, you know, that's how I experimented with just layering, because you have a limited number, especially because it was one you couldn't bounce tracks, so you literally only had four.
Yeah, you had four. You had
four tracks. You could have four layers.
You had four tracks, and you had to get it right because the tape would wear out.
Yeah, exactly, and you had to figure it out. You know, what am I going to do with these four tracks? So I think that actually helped define a lot of my like playing and writing style.
Yeah.
Was just like, okay, well, I'm doing this one guitar part on acoustic guitar. If I do this other one, it sounds kind of rhythmic and almost gives it like a momentum, like there's a beat or something.
Yeah.
And then I'll do this one vocal and then this harmony on top. Or I'll do a different song where it's two guitars and me playing drums on a pail and then a vocal. Or I'll do, you know, a track where it's one guitar and two vocals, and I tune the guitar way down and fake like a bass part. Like, I just messed around.
Are you one of those pieces of shit that just can play whatever? Like, if I handed you a fucking saxophone in a week, you'd be able to play Dave Matthews Band covers?
I wouldn't play Dave Matthews Band covers.
And but he could.
I'd also take the I take the piece of shit part out of there, but...
oh, snap.
I can probably play... I don't know. I don't know how to say this diplomatically and not sounding like a dick, but it's like...
Just go for it.
It's okay. I'm good at most things.
I've always had a history of being able to pick up instruments and figure something out on them.
Yeah.
Like, I won't get proficient, and I'll probably be doing things not even close to, like, the sort of classical way to play that instrument.
Yeah.
But I'm always somebody that could pick up an instrument and figure something out.
Ugh.
You know, figure something out that works on a song or works on a part. I mean, I have, in my home studio, I have all kinds of weird little toys. I used a bunch of weird stuff on the song I made for you guys.
Cool.
I'm excited.
And
I always had to work everything. You know, just like everything I've ever put my fucking hands on, I've had to work to like let it make it click.
Yeah.
Like when I was learning guitar.
You had to work hard.
Just all of a sudden, one day, I was playing Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Sure, that's the one.
I've been playing it for months and months and months, and I can't quite, it just doesn't sound like what it's supposed to. All of a sudden, one day, it just clicked. And I went, string mutes.
Yeah.
Oh!
In between,
And that changed everything.
The chicka chickas. But
it took me forever to figure it out. It just, I don't know.
And what's tough about that is I'm probably...
What's tough about that is seeing people like you.
Well, sure. But I'm probably, in general, a lazier person than you are.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would wager that. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but
inherently good at stuff makes you lazy.
Probably does.
I will challenge you on that.
Well, we'll have to find some kind of metric.
You can have a lazy off.
Yeah.
What would that entail? Just not doing it in the first place. That's what that would
be. Not doing the contest at all. Yeah.
Forgetting that you said you were going to do the contest is how you both win.
Sure. That works for me.
First person to say, "Hey, weren't we going to do that contest?" is the loser.
That's good.
I like that.
That's brilliant.
It'll be me because it'll pop in my head one day. And then I'll just say it because I don't think about shit I say.
You'll say
sometimes.
It in front of him, and he'll be so like psyched. He'll tell me like immediately.
Oh yeah, I have to say it. But I'd have to like.
And I'll be
the
like, "What the
say
fuck
it
are
to
you
myself.
Talking about?" I'll forget about it. I won't know what he's referencing. But
so, do you want to do what are you drinking now? Just to get it out of the way.
Yeah. Since am I the only one drinking? Are you drinking?
I'm drinking, and I'll do the thing. Frank's got water.
Yeah, I can describe the water
because he watched The Doors and learned a lesson. And we did not. Yes?
I don't know if I'd put it in those terms, but I think your end point is...
So is there a reason that you're not much of a drinker? Or is it just like Matthew where it's just like,
eh. I actually... I'll divulge because you asked and because...
You don't have to...
No, I don't mind talking about
it. Did you give him the spiel?
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
No.
Is there like...
We can do it on the air. I told him about all that.
Oh, nothing makes me uncomfortable. I'm an open book.
Yeah.
Okay,
this
good.
Is not an uncomfortable
if,
thing.
It's
good, I try
if
not
you
to
do for tonight's show, the safe word is banana hammock.
All right.
Put it on the wall there in case you forget.
All right. There are a lot of words on the wall. I'll probably read the wrong thing. I'll probably say old country. I'll go there because you opened it up. I don't like to sort of volunteer because then I just sound like I'm like I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, bragging isn't. It's not bragging. There's no wrong way to do life. You know, it's just like everybody has their own choices. But
there are some ways.
I've never had a drink.
Okay.
Not one.
No. And I don't. I've never had. I've never. You know, tried any drugs or weed or you know smoked anything or whatever. It's just sort of not my
nothing.
Nothing.
Not a thing. Not even tried.
I mean,
my
drug of choice is probably caffeine. I'm a huge coffee nerd.
I can tell.
Wiry. Yeah. But I don't know. It's probably a combination of a lot of things. First and foremost, like I don't like feeling like weird. Like I think I took a Tylenol PM once because I was having trouble sleeping and I could feel it like taking effect on me and I started
freaking out. When you don't do anything, and then you do it for the first time, it's definitely pretty amplified.
Yeah. I also didn't really have friends growing up, so the peer pressure thing wasn't, like,
Oh, poor guy.
Whatever.
That's a big part of it, though. I mean, like, beer doesn't taste good until you get used to it.
A lot of things, you know, don't. I mean, neither does coffee. It's like, honestly.
Oh, yeah, coffee's a great example. Coffee fucking tastes gross
And I only started drinking coffee because my first job when I got my first apartment when I was 19 was I got a job at a coffee shop. And I was doing opening shift all the time at, like, 4:30 a.m.
Where at? Starbucks?
In Rosendale. It was a really short-lived spot called Blue Wolf Desserts. They had a coffee bar in there. I don't think it was open too long. It's just
Blue
Wolf the tough
desserts.
Yeah, but anyway, we're good. I'm getting derailing, but
sorry.
No worries.
Cranberry muffins.
But yeah, I don't know. It's a combination of that. Like, I don't like feeling weird and altered. It's just like not like something I'm like looking.
But you can't knock it till you tried it. I'm just saying.
I can, and I will, and I have for 30 years, and I'll probably continue
It's good for you, because you'll definitely live longer.
And that's the bitch of it, is I probably won't, and then it'll be like...
And then you'll feel like
even,
you missed out.
Fuck that. I don't think so. I don't think I will.
And I definitely don't want to be the guy that gets...
You'll be that guy who's never had a drink,
this
and then
is
gets like,
gym. Do you
liver,
try
like cirrhosis
gym?
Of the liver, like this guy. Even though he's not an alcoholic, he's still going to get it.
You know what's a good... You know what's a good analogy? That I've told people, and that sort of makes them get it a little better. Not that, I mean, we're at an age now where, like, it's, I'm so glad that, like, people just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
They're just like, right on, and then we move on.
Yeah,
and it's like,
not,
when I was younger, it was a big fucking deal.
It's not like people couldn't let it go.
Right?
Yeah. It's not a weird thing. I just, like, have questions.
Yeah,
just,
sure.
Just wondering what the hubris of that is. And if it's just because you don't feel like it,
that's kind of it.
That's a completely valid answer.
That's kind of it, but it's like, can you think of a food that is like wild that you've heard of that you're like, I don't need to try that to know that it's not for me.
No.
Like,
I mean,
Rocky Mountain oysters or something.
There are certain things like I don't like seafood.
Yeah, but you've probably tried it.
I've tried a lot of seafood, but then there's all, like, everyone says I need to try mahi-mahi because it tastes like steak.
Yeah.
And
no,
I'm like,
it does.
Yeah.
And I say to them,
you say that because you like fish.
Exactly.
I know I won't
like
it.
That's what I say, too, about fish. But anyway, here's a better example.
I don't want to stop you, but I'm one of those weirdo I'll eat whatever you put
in
front of me.
That's awesome, honestly. But...
Even if he doesn't know what it is,
he's like, "What is
it?" I mean, seriously, if he's in mid sentence and you hand him a can of beer that's filled with cigarette butts, he'll just try it.
Oh God!
Yeah.
Wow. That's like a superpower.
No, like, he won't go, cigarette butts. He'll just try it without thinking about it whatsoever.
Yikes.
I'll keep trying shit, too.
Right on.
Like, I tried a banana the other day. I still don't like bananas.
Oh, all right. You'll you'll give it another shot.
But I give it another shot.
Calm down. Jesus.
Yeah.
Is this your midlife crisis here, fucking trying bananas?
That's a little early for a midlife crisis.
No, I go back to see if the old staple is still not, you know, in my wheelhouse.
Right. That's actually a really good principle. I've been doing that with food lately too, okay, I'll make an assumption if you allow me to make an assumption.
Assume all you want.
Neither of you
just don't assume his sexuality.
You're probably not interested in trying like crack or heroin.
No, to be honest, if I was like diagnosed with a disease that I knew was going to kill me in 6 months, I would try heroin tomorrow. Absolutely.
Interesting.
Because every single person who does heroin's like, it's fucking amazing. It's why I ruined my life.
Yeah.
It's cheap and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It just kills you.
Wow.
So
what a topic.
I probably wouldn't try crack.
Right.
Just I don't feel like I'd enjoy that. But heroin I definitely would try.
So let's go with crack then.
Okay, crack.
So,
I wouldn't do crack.
So
I think with that analogy you kind of
blew
up my spot because I wouldn't fucking try it.
Yeah. So here's the thing. That's really extreme. That's a really extreme example. But the principle is the same.
Yeah.
You don't need to try it to know that it's not for you. You can kind of deduce the pros and cons in your head, and you're like, I'm not going to like that. That's drinking and drugs and stuff for me. It's just like everything
I'm too inquisitive a person to not like... Gambling. Gambling is a good example for me because I know if I started gambling, it would become a problem very quickly.
Right on.
I know that about myself.
Yeah.
So I don't do it.
Yeah.
It's also one of those things where it's like to do it a little bit isn't fun enough for it to be worth it. You know what I mean? So.
All right.
Yeah.
And I'm very far from that. Like I'm not a very, my curiosity is really specific. It's really sort of streamlined in really, really specific directions. I don't really like, there are a lot of things I'm just not curious about.
Yeah.
I'm probably really weird in that regard, but
right.
I'm glad to be. So it works for me.
Strange.
And the other thing is like, you know, I'm not, you know, back in the early 80s, you know, with the straight edge hardcore kids and like the DC punk scene and stuff. They were like beating up people because they chose to like that's not my bag, you know.
So
like,
you're
do your
not,
thing.
So you're not like militant.
No, of course not.
I worked with a guy who had X's tattooed on the backs of his hands.
Yeah,
which is the straight edge symbol, right?
Yeah,
he used to go to shows and look for people drinking at these shows and fucking pick fights. That was his thing. Like, he loved to do it. I was just like, dude,
that sounds like somebody who's just, like, dealing with some severe mental issues.
Well, here's the thing. He's telling me this while he's, like, while he's got a fucking vodka tonic in his hand.
Yeah.
And his hair standing straight up in the air in a suit at, like, gambling night, whatever.
So it was, like,
a
former straight edge or something.
So he's not straight edge?
No, but he's got a shit ton of tattoos all over him.
So he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
How about that, though?
Yeah. That's interesting.
Weird, man.
So that's not my style. It's like do your thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I have my we all have our things that just like help us like get through and we look forward to and it's just like
for
it's
us
like,
it's drugs and alcohol. For you it's not drugs and alcohol.
For you guys it's
For you it's probably, music.
For me it's music and for me it's probably Seinfeld or something like that, but
I'm a big Seinfeld fan.
I'm gonna write down Seinfeld the anti-drug.
There you go. Good phrase.
I'll drop Seinfeld references on the show once in a while.
I'll get
right
it.
Past them. I haven't done it in a while, but
I would get it. I was like
I feel like I would always it would come on and I would watch it and I'd be like, oh, I've seen this one. And I've just seen I've seen 6 episodes of the show ever.
Yeah, that's what's wrong with the syndication is that they do that. But I mean, I have every season on DVD, so it's like,
Oh man,
what's a DVD?
Super. Yeah, right. It's so retro. So
what?
I also I was super drunk the other night, and I really wanted to watch Terminator 2.
Right on.
And I was here's where I was: pay $3.99 to watch it, or spend 45 minutes trying to get one of my PlayStation 2s hooked up to play the DVD that I own. Because I don't have a DVD player anymore.
Right.
I just have
three
old PlayStation. No, I drunkenly hooked up my PlayStation 2.
Did it work?
No, yeah, it worked.
Wow.
Worked fine. Hooked it up, put the movie on. I remember right up until, it was right up until probably like the scene in the hallway with the shotgun.
Yeah.
Right up until about there, fell asleep, and then woke up at 4:30 in the morning.
It's like 20 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, to the DVD menu going like.
That's dope. Judgment Day.
And it was really loud, and I was like, what the fuck? And I was all confused because I was sleeping on the couch. I was so fucked up. It was such a waste of time. And I would have been even more pissed if I paid $3.90. But maybe I would have made it farther in the movie if I didn't spend 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I don't know. I've been around a lot of drunk people, and you laying down or sitting down on a couch was probably what made you fall asleep. So
For sure.
The it probably has more reference to the time
when
you laid down.
Had I just stood there drinking a beer watching Terminator 2,
been fine.
I would have made
the
movie.
The whole thing,
I wish Matthew's here to tell the story about the pizza.
I'll ask him. I'll come back on the show. We'll do one together finally someday,
absolutely.
And then we'll bring up the pizza story.
So we've discussed what you're not drinking.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we didn't get into.
Got derailed.
I went back to Boom Sma and I put the drink I had before. This is a new one. This is just Boom Sma gin with water. Mm-hmm. Before I had that with guava berry liqueur. Oh.
I was thinking it was Campari because you're a douche.
Well. If I had Campari, it would have been Campari.
Been Campari.
Yours is way more interesting. So.
Yeah, this is a new one from maybe it's not a new one, I don't know, but it's from Lagunitas. It's called Aunt Sally. It's a unique dry hopped sweet tart sour mash ale.
Give me the do you have the cap there? Give me the cap. I want to see it.
It's just the dog.
I put it over here to remind me.
Oh. Oh, to tag them?
Yeah.
So, it's from Lagunitas. I've never had a bad beer from them. They're really good.
And this is kind of slightly sour, slightly sweet. Definitely, I wouldn't consider it a sour beer, but it has a lot of sour notes. It's a lot sweeter than I would normally get from a beer, but it all works really well.
Really?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Let me see, I'm not gonna drink it. I just wanna see the label. Them with their ladies.
Yeah. So fantastic brewery and a great beer.
Yeah, and it's
very
point.
Drinkable. It's 5.7% alcohol. Yeah, really, really good. I would totally buy this again.
Cool.
What's it called again? It's called Aunt Sally.
Aunt Sally.
Unique dry hopped sweet tart sour mash ale.
And by the label, Aunt Sally looks like a whore.
A little bit.
That's just a guess.
Got that pointy brawn.
She could just be very nice.
No.
Never know.
There's something I can contribute to the what you're drinking, and it's not the water.
Okay. I was like, if he's going to talk about the water,
no,
that's it. I'm turning the show off.
What I was going to say is that the way that all of these things are described, coffee tasting, it's very similar. Very similar.
Oh, for sure.
Very similar terminology. And I'm definitely a big coffee nerd. And I belong to a curation service. Like I subscribe to coffee through the mail from Mistobox. Yeah.
I've heard of that.
Yeah,
it's
awesome.
It's not just coffee, though, is it? Or
they are. Yeah, you're mixing it up with.
Yeah,
there are a lot. You get a lot of those Facebook ads that are like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I get a lot of. They basically send you.
It's like Jelly of the Month Club.
Yeah, but it's like a 12-ounce bag of.
Fuck.
Was that a Christmas Vacation reference?
I hit the fucking stop record button and it didn't take, and I'm so glad that it didn't.
Holy shit. And full mouth full of gin. It's like one of my favorite movies ever.
Like, I hit that button and then I said Jelly of the Month Club, and then you almost spit gin everywhere, and I freaked out thinking that I just stopped it recording, but it's good. It's still going.
Oh, God.
Right on.
Sorry. Keep going. Misto.
Yeah, no, they send you beans from different independent roasters, like, and I get them twice a month. It's not cost effective.
So you're
really
a black
good.
Coffee drinker,
yes.
then? Yeah,
yeah,
okay. So black coffee drinker.
What'd you get
like
at Crafted Cup the other day?
I think I got
Jürgerschurf.
Jürgerschefe, as I've heard it pronounced.
Jürgerschurf.
Jürgerschefe, yeah.
It's
Ethiopian. Yeah. It was good. Yeah. It was good.
Our Jürgerschef, for some reason, all of a sudden, everyone's all about it.
Yeah,
we're selling like 10 times as much as we used
to. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, with African coffees, you're usually getting a lot of darker roasts. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so to get like a lighter
that's
Ethiopian.
That's the lightest one we have.
I mean, I usually am more preferential to Central American, South American coffees, mm-hmm. You know, El Salvador, Brazil, stuff like that, Nicaragua, Guatemala, you know. But yeah, I love a good Ethiopian Jürgerschef or Jürgerschefe or however it's technically
called. So you've replaced alcohol with like craft beer with coffee.
Yeah, I'd say it's kind of the same.
Yeah,
it is the same level.
It's very similar.
I definitely not as into it as you are, but I appreciate it. And I'm getting to the point now where, like, my palate is, I can tell what is, like, shit and what
is
good.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and
the first
there,
step.
Yeah, there have been there have been a couple of, like, I went to one place up in Hudson.
So much coffee.
And I was like, I went in, and my go-to, and I've talked about this before, when I go to a new coffee shop, I say, can I have a cortado? And if they go, what's a cortado?
Like,
I say, I'll have your medium roast drip coffee.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And their espresso was... I wouldn't say like 10 times better than ours, but it was better than ours.
Wow.
And Christian knew, I'm not going to name names, but Christian, who I work with over there, he knew the shop and he knew the distributor and he knew what coffee it was. And he was like, yeah, but it's about 2.5 times the price.
Yeah.
So you with the volume that we do,
yeah,
it was obvious that that place was just like, it was like kind of a side business.
Yeah, yeah.
So they didn't really care.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's very, very rare that I've gone anywhere and said, that coffee is better than Crafted Cup. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, right on.
Don't sound like you agree.
No, I'm just thinking about how I was going to plug my friend's coffee shop, but he's probably competition with you guys, so
that's
I
fine.
Can't do that.
You can.
Yeah, plug.
My buddy,
Crafted Cup
my
is not affiliated
with Dead Radio.
Until they
but,
give us sponsorship
I know.
Money.
But my,
and
my,
even then, you can plug whatever you want. I just won't talk shit about the shop.
My... I'm not talking shit at all. I mean, Crafted Cup is great, and I've been going there, you know, since I've been back in the area. I can't deny that I missed the cubbyhole, mm-hmm. and I thought that it wouldn't have been really an issue because cubbyhole was open at night.
The chubby yeah. hole.
Well, we're kind of getting going there. In. Yeah. We serve beer and wine now.
Yeah.
So if they were still open, they'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
The cubby hole. And you know, I played there a couple times.
I mean, that place was so great. That was an institution of the Hudson Valley music scene, in my opinion. But
Lee was a bit abrasive.
He was, but I think he was a character, and you found how to like understand him, that he was just very short with words, and oftentimes he wasn't being a dick. He was just like short with words.
Oh, he fathered me on the phone one time. Well, I booked a gig with him,
right?
And he, Pete Crotty from NCM.
Yeah, I know the name.
He vouched for me.
Okay.
We opened for Pete at a show, and then a couple months later, I called Lee at the Cubby Hole, and I said, "Hey, can we get a show? I like to put the new bands on." Open mics or whatever. Oh, like, oh, we've played there before with Pete Carotti. And he's just like, oh, okay, no problem. So how about Thursday night, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, sure. That's fine. And then I let my band members know. One of them got back to me. I got something going on that night. I'm like, I call Lee back. Hey, I screwed up. I apologize. Can we switch it to this day? Yeah, sure. Another band member is like, I got something. I'm like, you guys need to tell me this stuff.
Yeah.
I think I fucked up dates too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I was part to blame, I think. But then I called him back again.
Oh,
and
shit.
Boy, did he let me have it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Maybe we need to get our shit together and then we'll come back. He's like, yeah, maybe. And I was like, okie dokie.
Yeah. He certainly told it. You know, he did not hold back.
No, he did not.
Still doesn't. I mean, I run into him every now and then, and he's the same. He's the same great dude, you know, in that way.
Which guy? Can you describe him for me?
Lee, I don't know.
Because I remember like two people.
About my height, black dude, salt pepper hair.
Yeah.
He usually had like some sort of hat on.
Ponytail.
He work?
Braid, I think.
I think he works at the art shop.
Does he?
I think so. Because I remember recognizing him and seeing him somewhere like in a retail.
I see him in Barnes & Noble playing chess.
Very much a hippie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he comes into Crafted Cup.
So what's this other coffee?
Oh, it's the Poughkeepsie Grind.
Oh, yeah.
That's my buddy Patrick.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
That's my buddy Patrick, yeah. Good friend of mine. Yeah.
Yeah,
he does great stuff over there.
I shot an event there for the Save the Poughkeepsie Skate Park people.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Cool.
He was involved with that heavily. Yeah,
yeah. Great guys. Seemed like they got a good spot. I only had one coffee there, and I can't really remember what I thought. So it couldn't have been bad.
They brew North River Roasters, which is Poughkeepsie local roaster. So
no shit.
Cool.
Yeah.
North River Brewing, same
no
guys
idea.
Or
no, no idea.
No, they're not.
North River Roasters is in
no,
the
North River.
They're in the underwear factory.
Yeah, they're.
You know that building?
What? Huh?
Underwear factory.
South Cherry, all the way to the end.
Yeah. It's in like it's a weird. There.
That's
spot,
an under. That's the. That's an underwear factory.
Yeah,
it was an underwear factory. They still call it that, and now it's like undergoing sort of a building like renaissance. It's gonna open with like new stuff. And,
Yeah, they got a lot of financing slowly. And stuff from the city, and it's gonna be cool. But yes, I am aware of them, and they seem to do a very good job. But I've only been in twice.
You should go more.
Yeah. It's kind of out of the way for me, considering I would pass by the coffee shop that I work at to get there.
Right on. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Uh-oh,
fair enough.
Nice. Noodling.
So, actually, he kind of read my mind because we're coming up on 45 minutes.
Are we? We are.
Yeah.
All right.
So, how about we do a little song?
Have you just been eyeballing the clock the whole time, waiting to pick that fucking thing up?
No, it just felt like the right time. I don't know.
Can we talk about the gear that you're... Can we talk about the guitar?
Yeah.
What are you playing?
This particular one is a little Gretsch Jim Dandy. It's modeled after, like, pre-war parlor guitars.
Okay.
Which, a lot of people seek out the original ones on eBay and on Reverb and all the used sites because they were guitars that the manufacturers were like just trying to make a cheap guitar.
Yeah.
They did not have quality or good sound in mind at all. And all the like Delta Blues players and stuff played them because you could get them at Sears and Roebuck for, you know, $5 or whatever it was at the time. They were the cheapest guitar you could get. And it was an absolute accident that they sounded amazing. And
that's like my Yashica camera. It was $30 at Sears,
and it's just like
now
awesome.
Like $200.
Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like it's modeled after those. It doesn't sound quite as good. But what's cool about these little guitars, these small body kind of shorter scale guitars, is they have a really unique kind of brash mid-range projecting kind of sound.
All of the things I can't stand.
Can't stand in acoustic guitars?
Well, no. I'm that acoustic guitar right there is a kit guitar. It's just some bullshit guitar that I got when I was 13 to learn on.
That came with a thing.
The
and another
stickers
thing,
are part of the structural integrity.
I have
a
guitar that looks a lot like
you
that.
See the hose. See those are two hose clamps put together to keep the top from separating.
Right on.
Yeah, I used Gorilla Glue.
It sounds terrible, but it's great.
It doesn't sound terrible. It sounds good.
It sounded terrible when Rob played it.
I'm more of like a stoner rock and heavier. I'm getting into more of the alternative rock nowadays lately, but I'm more heavier end. So when started strumming that, I was just like, oh, it's one of those.
One of those. Yeah. I mean, and I have another acoustic at home. I have a Taylor that sounds a lot more kind of earthy and deep and more like a traditional.
Love Taylors. I love the way they sound.
And
Martin can go shit in a hat.
I mean, I played some Martins. Ever played any vintage Martins, they sound amazing, but they're just too expensive. But and then I have a few electric guitars. You know, I have a G&L Blues Boy semi-hollow Telecaster.
Ooh, very nice.
Which is G&L was the company that Leo Fender started shortly before he died.
G&L is beautiful guitar.
Amazing. Love that guitar. Great story with that guitar, actually. I had started dating my longtime gal year or two before that, and she was trying to figure out what to get me for my birthday, and one of our mutual friends was like, wasn't he eyeballing this like guitar in this guitar shop? She's like, yeah, but it's like, you know, $800 or whatever it is. And she said, so why don't you reach out to everybody you know and everybody he knows that you can get in touch with and say, I'm trying to get people to chip in to buy this guitar.
Oh, fuck.
She got like 40 people to buy me this guitar.
Wow.
And it was this huge surprise, like, and I had no idea, and it was like insane, yeah, and it's like one of my most treasured things.
We can't even get like 7 people to fund our Kickstarter.
Me
$150.
Yeah.
300 it wasn't.
It was like 300 bucks.
$300. And my
200
mom.
Of it was his mom.
Right on.
We had one person we didn't know contribute. It was terrible.
Yeah, I don't do well on crowdfunding either. Yeah.
That was Frosty, right?
I don't remember. I sent him a sticker.
I hope he's still listening.
I hope so too.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Go for it. What are we listening to here?
This is a song off of our My Hour, I don't know. This EP I recorded on my own. I played all the stuff on it.
EP's called Proto Neon.
It's called Proto Neon. This is the first cut. It's called Really Cool. There's a house down there, so go tear it down and feel better. There is a breeze in the air that smells just like your garage. Did you know? To that well in every nightmare I've ever had. Did you know you'll die if you swallow the sun too fast? Fine, I'll just say it. Fine, I'll just say it. The can't let you go just yet. No, I can't let you go just yet. Just yet.
Wonderful.
Thanks, guys.
You gotta get an audience to clap.
I know, right? You gotta still clap. Nah, that's cool, man.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Sorry. Now I gotta adjust everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That I want. That's the song I want for our.
It's in there.
That's the one that
yeah.
you have.
Yeah. Yeah, it just sounds very different.
Yeah.
That's not. That's not the song that I sent.
Yeah. What I'm saying is
we're doing a short for a variety show in Beacon.
Nice.
And we want it to kind of look like a movie that Zach Braff would make.
Nice, yeah.
So I've that song that. I think fits that yeah. and I can fucking play it right now if you
It's
want.
Like ironic. I
don't
want to
debut it on the show.
Yeah,
so
that's
I can
fine.
It.
That's
I
fine.
I can play it for you, like
sure.
maybe at the end or the break.
Yeah, let's. Yeah.
But right,
hold
right,
off on it.
It starts like right at the drone shot.
Nice.
That song.
Yeah, that, so. Yeah. That's
the song.
Yeah.
Just sounds really different recorded because this little EP, I was sort of going after a specific kind of sonic thing that was really weird on purpose. I was trying to do a bit. I call it bedroom pop, 80s.
When I listened to some of the songs yeah. on this, I was like, sounds like Steve Winwood.
Right on. That gets a big high five. I have been, dude, I have a record coming out sometime later this year, like a full-length studio record that I'm really proud of, and you've heard a bunch of the songs live. We play a bunch of them. And the producer, this great guy, Jeremy Backoffen, who you ever hear of, like, the Felice Brothers, he produces all their stuff and a bunch of other really great artists. He's pretty prolific. But he... You know, as a producer I've worked with over the years a few times, and he was joking when we were cutting the album. He said that I made neo hipster yacht rock.
Oh my god!
He said that
god.
I was the new wave of yacht rock for hipsters, and I laughed.
What,
I thought
what
it was hilarious.
What is yacht?
Steve Winwood, like okay. Higher Love, and
that's awesome.
Christopher yeah. Cross yeah. Sailing, and yeah. even like Michael yeah. McDonald. You know, I keep forgetting not in love anymore. Like that's like. Yacht rock, or like
it's like yeah, it's 80s pop, mm-hmm. built
but smooth,
for yuppies.
Smooth,
yeah,
dude,
it's
smooth.
It's yeah for people with their stainless steel house.
Yeah,
in the 80s. Yeah,
or like with their yacht. Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah. it's played on yachts. You know, you've never
oh,
seen that.
Like I was just I didn't when you said yacht, I didn't picture a
like,
thing. I
yeah.
pictured a term.
A term. Yacht.
Like not a yacht,
yacht
with
rock.
A CHT.
Yacht rock.
Like
yeah.
Like Y A T. Like yeah. it's a something
like it's
I've
a,
never heard of.
Yeah. No. Y A C H T, like the boat. Yeah.
Like it was an acronym or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
asshole. Yeah.
That's something that you would do for way less. But I'm gonna write down yacht rock.
Y-A-C-H-T, like the boat.
I'll put this in parentheses.
Y-A-T. What could that stand for?
Oh, that's funny.
Young.
Funny, man.
Young asshole teenage
rock. Sure. I've made some of that in my time, yeah.
Yeah, Peter Gabriel came dangerously close
he did.
To that
I'm,
of
and
stuff.
Honestly, like, I'm way into that stuff. And I love the stuff. What I love about it is what usually people hate about it, and it's how corny it is. And I like to
yeah.
mix
man.
Corny... I like to mix corny sonic stuff that sounds like it's from the wrong era. I like to make it a little bit kind of reverby and lo-fi and weird, and then write lyrics that are a lot more cryptic and a lot less sort of like, you know, because a lot of those lyrics were trash.
Or
they were just
brutal.
About like...
Fucking brutal.
Was,
yeah.
yeah.
The lyrics were
it
usually
was like
the worst
they,
part.
They wrote the lyrics thinking about the music video that
yeah,
you're
exactly.
make.
Yeah,
exactly. yeah.
Or like, you know the song Sailing by Christopher Cross?
Yeah, yeah.
It would I'm going to make a confession. It would kind of be a tight song. Just like that like guitar part and it's like some smooth shit and you're just like, mmm. But then he opens his mouth and starts singing those words and you're like, will you shut the fuck up? It's just like he keeps saying this phrase, the canvas can do miracles, just you wait and see. And you're like, all right, I can't listen to this.
I'm going to go.
Yeah.
The fucking, the lyrically, if someone's not on point lyrically.
Yeah, I'm way into lyrics.
Just fucking kills. It yeah. just kills a song for me.
For me too.
I think
but,
we
you know.
Talked about that like when we were first getting into Clutch. Yeah. You're like, I can't listen to some of the other shit that I used to listen to because it's just not there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, whereas Clutch, like, you look, you like actually sit down and read the lyrics and you're like, what the fuck? Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I couldn't pay. I wasn't paying attention to the lyrics.
No worries, dude.
Because I'm too busy worrying about the sound.
You can stream it. You can stream it on Spotify or Bandcamp, and then you can listen to it.
But yeah, it was cool, man. I'm not like I have like a weird kind of palate when it comes to music. So some stuff I'm like, you know,
not my thing.
Like, well, I'll Shadow Witch was in. They're a stoner rock band.
Right.
Like, I'll listen to them. I'll listen to Deftones. I'll listen to, you know, Alice in Chains.
Right on.
Very, very heavy stuff. But on the other end, I will, you know, I got, you know, Peter Gabriel, Steve Winwood.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't, like, I can't.
It was just, really
right
funny
now,
when we played your music at one point during a, like, during a break or something on the show. It was right after the show that I bought that.
Yeah.
And he was not about it at all.
That's fine.
And then a couple minutes in, he's like, "You know what? It sounds like Steve Winwood. I like it."
I take that as a really cool, weird compliment.
Man,
yeah.
Steve Winwood is a fucking boss.
Yeah, I mean, great musician.
He's the shit.
Great musician. You know, and it's like one of those things where it's like everybody's got their thing, and some things just don't click with some people, and that's just got to be okay. You know.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I think we should take a quick break
because
we're trying to be good about this, and this is pretty good.
Ooh.
Right on.
So let's take a quick break. Where's my sheet of paper?
All right. So, all right. Now let's go to the show checklist and see what we need to do.
Let's break it down for everyone.
All right. So?
So on our way out, start playing some music.
All right. So we're playing break music?
Yeah. Well, whatever you want to do. You can play some bed music and then go into break music. We're figuring this out on the show.
Right.
Just figuring it out on the air.
Okay, so something
oh my
like
God. Just play something I can talk over.
Cool.
Is that not it?
No.
Oh, sorry.
It finally got funny. It took fucking 6 shows of him doing that. All right. So as we go to break, I want to remind you about the Hudson Valley Podcast Alliance. A lot of news forthcoming very soon. Check out Dark Side Records Podcast and Dork Side Podcast, which is affiliated with Dark Side. Hudson Valley Legends, who gave us our awesome intro. Did we give them credit in the beginning?
We didn't.
We didn't, but that, that intro is all them. Hudson Valley Transmitter and the Hudson Valley Transmitter Podcast. We also mentioned their variety show on March 14th.
Yes, March 14th. It's at Quinn's in Beacon. It starts at 7. Let me just get that. See?
And we will be. I know it sounds like it, but we're not leaving, everyone. This is just a break.
Yeah, this is just a break. You stay with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, we're trying to get the plugs out of the way. All right. Also, this show is brought to you by Track7Studios.com because of all the cameras. And then eventually, when we get advertisers, those plugs will be here, and now we can go to break.
Yeah?
Yeah, now we can go to break.
No, I got to set something up now. I need the break music. I forget.
Well, just play his music.
We haven't.
You have
oh,
it on the computer.
Yeah,
play
that's
his
smart.
Music. What are you doing?
Thanks, guys.
I should have played that.
Do you remember the part where I wrote here?
This is all very new. I don't do this kind of thing.
Well, maybe play the logistics on the air bumper really quick. Get set up with guest content, break music, etc. That was step 3 in show prep. It's all right. It's our first day with a format. All right,
we'll
so we'll be back in about 5 to 10 minutes, says this thing.
This
for all
was
the YouTube
the song.
People. So for anybody who's still watching on Instagram, I'm going to end this stream because we can only go for an hour. Check us out on YouTube.
Here in this coffee shop, one hand on the classified. Ain't I just a picture of a grown up, barely scraping by? Back in my Oldsmobile, furrow my brow because this isn't out of body. Thank you.
wonderful.
That's amazing. I'm going to use that a lot.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad. New rejoiner music.
In our little like videos that I do for Instagram.
Yeah.
We heard like the first 5 seconds of each of those just to make sure that I had them.
Yeah.
But we wanted to listen to it cold on the show. Yeah. And just in those first couple seconds, I already had an idea for a video that we're going to do. Because did you see the Instagram video of me pulling him in the office chair?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to redo that in a more like produced way. To make it more like extreme.
Nice. That sounds like the theme song to like an 80s skateboarding movie.
Or like
Airborne.
Or like an anime
movie. We talked about Airborne for like an hour a while back.
Well, it's funny that you say that because when I listened to a bunch of the, you know, I listened back to some podcasts that you guys did and I actually wrote something else first that had more words.
Oh.
And I hated it.
Why?
It was just trying to like figure out like how to like say something about what you guys do, and it was failing because it was like you guys do whatever, and you know, and it's just like so many things, and it's so natural and so simple and so whatever, and I was just like, I kind of just want it to be like some weird hybrid of like a overly simplified like snotty punk meets like shredding 80s, like, you know, I wanted to like visualize like some like, I don't know, like not quite intro to like an 8-bit Nintendo game, but something like an 80s
Street Fighter game,
an 80s skateboarding movie or something. That's exactly what I thought of, and I was like, that's kind of what I want, because there's something about the energy on this show that's, it's funny, but it's like, it's a little, it's like just a smidgen like tough, but it doesn't take itself seriously at all. Like you guys are just like, so it was just like, that's what kept ringing in my head. So I actually just scrapped the whole thing and started over in the evening the day before yesterday.
Wow.
I was like, I'm just going to do this over because I think I'm going to be 10 times more excited about if I just... And I've, that's happened to me many times with like songs. You know,
I want the record to show that he said that we were funny and a little bit tough.
A little bit tough, yeah.
I'll write it down.
You know, guys that I'd that would be really nice to me when I was young. Like so we're a few years apart, and when so you guys would have been like what, seniors? I'm the same age as Matt, so
yeah,
you were seniors when I was freshman. So like you would have been the guys that were like that I looked up to and thought were really cool, and you would have been totally nice to me. Because you wouldn't have given a shit about like maintaining some kind of an image about whatever, but you would have scared the fucking shit out of me. I would have been so scared of you that like one wrong word and you would have beaten the snot out of me. But like you guys would have still been like really goofy and really nice to me, and I would have like totally approached you and been like, "Hey, Ryan and Adam, it's Frank," and you'd be like, "Yeah, man, what's up?" And like I'd be like, you know,
and the moment you walked,
exactly what Ryan sounded like.
And the moment you walked away, I would have been like, "Oh, look at this fucking guy."
Yeah, yeah. So I got a taste of that. So I was like, I don't know. It just something about that sound mixing in like weird. Like I have these weird little micro like synthesizers and stuff.
Can we go back to you talking about how cool we are?
I mean, you're pretty
fucking
cool.
Just give me a second so I can take off my pants.
Oh, sure, sure.
Sorry.
So little micro synthesizer.
Yeah, no. I just had a bunch of weird little things like that. And, you know, I went down, we're fortunate enough to have a lot of gear on campus in the music. I live on a campus of a boarding school, and I have a lot of gear and stuff that I can play around with and whatever. So I just kind of threw it together pretty quickly, and I was like, I like this way better than the first thing I did. Yeah. And I was like, there are no words. It just says Dead Radio over and over again. But I was like, it kind of works for like, I don't know.
It, you know, I had... Whenever I try to write shit, I'm sorry to keep like bringing it back to me. Oh, I do this too.
I know music.
I don't know
music
things.
I play with the strings on the guitar.
I usually talk about myself too much, so it's evening
well,
it out.
Well, I think the thing, before we get sidetracked by whatever the fuck he's about to talk about, I'm really excited because I feel like it's going to be pretty versatile for us, because we'll be able to use that for joiner music.
Right,
we'll be able to use that for an intro.
Right.
We'll be able to use that for videos. It will be in an Instagram video like tomorrow.
Right on. And I mean, there will probably rarely be uses for the full minute long one, but you know, you have the 30-second one, which is basically the second half.
Yeah.
And then you have the like 9-second one or whatever, which is basically just the like guitar tapping and then one dead radio, you know. So
well, let's hear that one.
So the 9 second one, maybe I'll turn that into like the intro for the Instagram stuff, because I have like a set intro that I use for everything. It's about 3 seconds long,
right?
So I can probably trim it, tweak some stuff.
Yeah, here's the 9 second one.
Oh yeah, I can totally do that, because I can kind of just do a little bit of a fade and do like the last 2 seconds of it.
That,
and on. get rid of that like I have like this punchy noise and it's like not so I can get rid of that and use that.
I almost want to use that as like a bit.
Nice. You should.
I imagine you in like. I imagine an anime movie when I think of that.
I mean, like
Voltron kind of anime movie.
Hell yeah.
And just Bosch like this.
Yeah.
With like the fucking shit behind him go.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just thinking like if somebody like praises us or something like that. Man, I listen to your show all the time. I'm the biggest fan. Oh, yeah?
And it's just like. But just the last little. Yeah, just
can you send us a dead radio?
Yeah, of course.
Just
I can
that little.
Yeah.
You
clip.
Can do it. You're a fucking
oh, yeah,
audio
I can
engineer.
Do it myself.
Yeah,
look at this.
Look at all this shit.
Can you? Would you mind doing the work for me?
I mean, I wouldn't. I wouldn't mind doing the work for you. I mean, it was a pretty. It was a pretty sweet trade. It, you know, Adam took some. Some band photos for me. So.
I like how distorted it is.
Yeah, I like to do fuzzed out stuff.
I really like that. That's cool. The band photos, I lost my shit and actually helped me, you know, I gave me a nice little joke to stick at Shadow Witch. When
I show them to you? Or
he showed
me
some of the pictures. Because I went over to his house to shoot the short, and he goes, he uses the pictures I took for Frank. So, you know, to trade for the song, I forgot all about it. And I was like, oh, my God, the one picture where you're in the front, perfectly in focus, and then the four band members in the back are totally blurry. I was like, oh, my God, blurry guys from, you know, America. What is it called? God, what's the name of the fucking movie?
I don't remember.
Almost Famous. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Don't mind me. I'm just one of the blurry guys. So, yeah, when I saw that, I left hysterical.
Yeah, and the thing is, I probably never would have done that.
Yeah.
Except you were like, so it's kind of like the same thing we've been doing. It's just a band's a little bit better to market, you know. So
I wanted to talk about
that. And especially because,
like you said,
you did all of this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know, so that kind of gave me the idea for that picture.
Yeah.
But I wanted you to have the whole band too.
Yeah.
So
it'll be good. You know. That'll be really useful in a lot of. I'm guaranteed that there will be applications where I'm like, actually, that one's going to be best. So it's good to have that in there in the arsenal. So
I would like to do. I would like to do another photo shoot with you guys when it's warmer out, because I have some ideas for like outside stuff.
Cool.
And I was like super sick. I think I mentioned I was like really sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would have definitely like stayed a little longer and gotten a little more. So,
well, I'd like to do what there is. So,
yeah, I'd like to do some more.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
Yeah. And some video stuff. I want to make a music video. Maybe like next album.
Yeah.
Do something.
Well, I mean, there may be something for the. I mean, I have one music video totally done. It's for the next record.
Yeah.
And then there's one that's halfway done. So there are already two music videos sort of in the hopper.
It's fine.
And but I don't know. I mean, we're sort of in an age where like you can't really do too much of that stuff.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
Well, I did have an idea. Like, it'd be super easy.
Right.
And it's not necessarily your band, but just for something. And I love single shot videos.
Yeah.
And I was thinking how cool it would be to do it with the GoPro gimbal. Like, just fucking in the woods.
Right. Yeah,
you know?
Love it.
Yeah. This isn't show logistics. We're talking about his band. We didn't play it before, so.
Is that something that you did?
Yeah. Yes.
That sounds awesome.
It's, he's playing Brian Johnson as a Muppet.
Oh,
yes.
Brian Johnson of AC/DC. Okay. Sure.
So, So that's when we get a little too like we should do this and then we should do this and then we should do this and then
we're not
it's
supposed to
derailing
discuss.
The show.
Yeah,
he gets it. It's fine.
So you were Frank McGinnis and the Whim.
Yeah.
Now you're American Film History.
Yeah.
Why the change? Like he mentioned it to me, but I want to hear it from the horse's mouth.
So the better question to ask is why all the previous changes? Not necessarily this one that was landed upon. But so after during Frankie and His Fingers, I had my first sort of musical existential crisis. And I said,
and then you wrote Salisbury Hill. And
I said,
then the rest is
history. I wish I wrote Salisbury Hill. I said, I hate the band name. It was never supposed to be a band name. It was a name when I was playing solo. It was a joke name because it was me and these are my bandmates.
Okay.
And, we couldn't think of a better name for a long time and we just went with it. Like, whatever. And it was a name that was just subject to a lot of like jokes and like, you know, people made a lot of Freddy Got Fingered references, which is weird. Like, we should all forget that movie, please. But
I don't know. It had its moments.
But so we actually changed the name of that band.
It did. It did have its moments.
Yeah, I guess. We actually changed the name of
do
that
you
band.
See LeBaron? This is my LeBaron.
Oh, God.
Don't. Don't, because I can do this for another half hour.
Oh God, I will bring it back to the.
But yeah,
so like, we actually changed the name of that band, Frankie and His Fingers, to Bylander C, before we put out a full length album.
So
which was weird.
Frankie and His Fingers. The first thing I thought of was, you know, Freddy Got Fingered.
Yeah,
like
many,
that. Like
many.
That ran through my head.
Many.
So that's that's just and. If, what was the other one?
Well, then we changed it to Bylander C. It was the same band.
That sounds like Surf and Turf.
And we all kind of, sounds like a restaurant. We all.
To me, it sounds like a band that the cover of the album looks like a Bill Murray movie.
That's pretty cool.
It looks like fucking Steve Zissou and something or other.
I'd be down.
Yeah.
Nothing's
wrong, but I'm just saying that's what I picture.
And I mean, we put out a record, a great record under that name, and then sort of, I think it was just sort of a sign of like we needed to move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. We were sort of burnt out on that project. Like a lot of, it kind of started to feel stressful. We had major label interests that fell through and went through a few managers and stuff. And it was just we were just kind of like, we need to step away from this project and like breathe and then figure something else out. And we kind of knew like, we'll still make music together. And
I thought I was stressed out with my band, just like balancing the calendar for everybody. That's fucking nuts.
But so that happened. And then when we sort of parted ways super, super amicably, and sort of relieved, I started putting out music under my own name, and then I was like, no, I like monikers, because if this grows into a band, I don't have to change it. So then I went by Time Travels, and then it grew into a band, and they were all, that was really fun, and they were really super great dudes, and for some reason, I just kind of lost the spark for that project, and it just sort of fizzled out. So Time Travels just kind of fizzled out, and then I just wasn't doing anything for a little while, and then I started putting out music under my name again, this Frank McGinnis. And then I was like, no, I have this really wacky idea to do a record where I don't say who it's by and I release it anonymously and get like secret, like planted people to share it online. And it's going to sound nothing like anything I ever did. And it was actually this first song on the EP, and it was four songs on the upcoming record in a very different sound and style, very murky, very like sounded like it was in a basement underwater. I was singing really deep in my register way down here. And I called that project American Film History. Back then, I spelled it as all one word because I just needed to be different, apparently. And
I want to, like, when I kept typing it out, I was not putting spaces in it.
Yeah. It's because of Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram.
No, it's not that. Well, I don't think that way. I think about, like, if I see a band name, I see American Film History, I see that as a one word.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to convince you
No, but yeah.
I'm just...
That was my first instinct. Yeah. And then what happened was I thought, again, I was like... And then I sort of had this weird thing where I was like, oh, I really need to, like, give, you know, music a really big like shot in the arm, you know, another time. I really need to try this again, you know, making it or whatever that means, just like giving more into my music. And I got really serious about it again because for a while it was just an artistic, you know, outlet. And I would play shows every now and then, but it was nothing I was being very serious about. And I was like, I really need to try to do this again. And I thought the best like business idea was releasing music under my own name because, you know, Frankie and His Fingers had a big following in the Hudson Valley and I had done a bunch of stuff and I know a lot of people and I figured like if people see my name on a flyer or on a thing, they might be like, oh yeah, I know Frank, I'll check it out. But I've never really been one at least lately, to put out just like kind of singer songwriter sounding stuff or like folk sounding stuff recorded. I like to get experimental. I like to get layered. I like a lot of sort of wall of sound stuff. So it sounds like it's a band, you know? And then I was like, oh, I can't play these songs. I tried to play solo for a while, and it works really nicely sometimes. But and it's a good thing to have.
It just depends on where you are.
Yeah, and it's a good thing to have in my arsenal. And I usually play solo electric with a lot of reverb and stuff, not solo acoustic, sort of the anti-singer songwriter set. And but then I got together a really good live band that includes Sammy Niss, who was my drummer in Frankie and His Fingers, and I got together a really good live band, and I was like, well, it feels weird to just be like, I'm Frank McGinnis, you know, fuck all these other people on stage.
Yeah.
With me.
All like, these people I like, that all these people that I can't afford to hire.
Yeah.
Are just playing with me.
Exactly.
I was like, I guess
I should like add like a tag to the end so that when I play live, it's not as weird. So that's where I came up with Frank McGinnis and the Whim. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, in the back of my brain, I was like, I don't like it. Like, I just would rather have a band name. I'd rather just have a band name. And,
did it feel like pretentious to you?
It felt long-winded.
Well, because I love the band name.
Yeah,
I did like too. for me personally, I would have just dropped your name and just been the Whim. But
I tried that.
Yeah.
It's taken like 20 times over.
It's
so taken. It's ridiculous. Yeah. That was my.
So you got to do it.
That was my
you
first. Thing that was my first choice.
The Whim sounds like an '80s band.
Yeah, which is kind of dope, and it would have worked really well, especially like the next record I'm pulling out. It's like. I'm putting out is pretty slick and pretty, you know, it's got like a, it would have worked really well with that sound, but it's taken in every way you can imagine. Every
That's
spelling, every,
yeah.
I mean, it makes sense that it's taken.
Yeah.
It's really simple and it's good. So I just couldn't, and I like spent a while like coming up with a bunch of like alternate names and like doing the whole name thing again. And then finally, Melissa, my, you know, longtime gal pal or, you know, She said, why don't you just...
I've never heard that used for a significant
gal pal. I'm trying to pump the brakes on this.
I know.
Because he wants to just go down a totally different road.
No,
story.
And that road leads south.
Yeah. But she said, why don't you just go back to using American Film History? You liked that name a lot. And I was like, oh. I didn't even think about that. And I was like... Let me see. I never checked the first time if it was taken. Let me just make sure it's like not taken. And I did like hours and hours of like deep digging and searching. And
I guarantee a musical band isn't named American Film History.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a guarantee.
The searchability is a little rough at first, but you'd be surprised. I mean, you type it in Google. I think I'm on the first page, you know?
Yeah.
You win.
What's that?
You win.
Yeah.
That's how you win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so. It's like I was like, you know what? My instinct is telling me it's a good name. It has a lot of great imagery, like potential, like use for like merch and like, you know, graphics and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like it's just a wealth of cool shit.
It's a great like little thing that can lead into really awesome album art.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that.
Oh
like,
yeah, absolutely.
Like I have 60 ideas in my head right now for album art and promotional stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and that's tough with a lot of band names.
It is, yeah.
Like I was saying with the before, like where they were thinking about the music video and they wrote the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell when people are doing that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you can tell when people make a music video based on lyrics.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to
have this like fine line where it's a music video, but it's not really can't be about the song.
Yeah, it's got to be a little abstract. Yeah.
So, like a name like American Film History, you can fucking put so much shit that will fit with that moniker.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
But I mean, and honestly, it's like, you know, I'm throwing a lot of stuff at the wall. It's just like, just seeing what sort of feels right as time goes on. And I don't know. It's like maybe you guys agree. Something about getting because I don't think we're old. But something about getting just a tiny bit older, leaving your 20s, et cetera, like a certain level of like maturity or whatever, you're kind of just like, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want.
Amen.
You know, you're just like, kind of, and especially because, you know, it's not harming anybody. Mm-hmm. It's just like, so somebody said that to me. I only had one friend that like gave me shit for changing the name again. They were like, how many more times are you going to change your band name?
Fuck and that.
No, my answer, and I was nice. I was like, as many times as I want.
Yeah.
She was like, you know what? Right on. She's like, you're right.
And it's not, like, no one can ever have, like, a come to Jesus moment with you. How many times are you going to change your band name?
Yeah.
How is that affecting anyone but me?
Yeah. Well, everybody's thought like everybody's thought is like you're doing damage to like the following that you're building, and it's like I like the quote unquote following I have right now is like friends I've still had.
So
this
it's
whole
like
time.
So then now so the like, time yeah. now is the time to do it.
Now is the time. I mean, granted, I got a little bit of press under Frank McGinnis and the Whim. Mm-hmm. I got a really cool feature
on the
front page.
Yeah, you have a sticker on my stereo.
Yeah, and I have a really cool feature on the front page.
There's
Bandcamp,
a sticker on my
you know?
Stereo.
I know.
Like
sorry.
That's a big commitment.
But it's rare. Now you have a rare sticker.
But I wouldn't have put it on my stereo if I knew it was going to be rare. I would have not put it on anything.
Now he's got to put a fucking like.
Can you get me another one? You probably got like 400.
Now
on
he's
got to
put a P-Touch label over it.
Yeah, you want some more?
Yeah.
I'll trade
I wish,
you.
I do wish I had that sticker.
I'll
with
trade
me,
you
25. Cool.
I'll trade you 25 stickers for some more photos. That's not fair at all.
We changed our band.
I will trade you one of our stickers for one of your stickers.
That's much more fair.
Stickers. We have
no,
stickers.
Take that one. That's a better
we
one.
Have a porno.
That's the new iteration.
We have condoms and easy anal desensitizing gel and a copy of Hudson Valley Transmitter's 1 year anniversary issue.
I'll take the sticker.
Okay.
Thank you for all of those offers. I will take the sticker.
I changed our band name was Life on Fire was the one that we were working. I fucking hated it. I was the one who came up with
it. So much.
I had a whole list of names.
Their original name was what? Red Sun Reservoir?
Yeah, Red Sun Reservoir.
That's not great either.
I like it. It's way better than Life on Fire.
It was a tongue
twister.
Especially
because at the time, High on Fire was a band.
Right.
Well, I mean, there are a few things. One, what's really weird about things like band names, and it translates to a lot of music, as far as listeners and fans and friends, et cetera, is people like pretty quickly they start to objectify their own subjectivity. They're kind of just like they feel this
can
weird
you write
sense.
That down have... so I can look it up later and understand what the fuck that means.
Well, it's like their opinion to them on something becomes irrefutable, and they're like nobody else can feel differently about this. So something like disliking or liking your current or former band name, like friends or fans or whatever, will almost feel some weird ownership. Like, no, I know what's good. Nobody else
right.
does.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's like fearing change mixed with I was here first.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm annoyed that you would change what I'm comfortable with.
And,
right.
And audiences like have an interesting ownership over art too, which is partially it's rightful because I think anybody who's making any kind of art who claims that it's 100% just for them, if they're trying to have anybody hear it at all, let alone make money or like make a living off of it, it's not just for you.
No, of course not.
And
if you were legitimately saying that, you would sit in your basement and make music and
never show it to anybody.
Yeah.
So like you have to like find a really weird, specific, unique way to filter in thinking about audience without having it actually affect your writing. It's really weird.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it's a pain in the ass.
It sucks.
Well,
it sucks.
I mean, we deal with it. 80% of this show is just what he and I want to do and what we think is funny. And we're probably going to get fucking kicked in the teeth when we release this short because it's funny as shit to us.
But other people are.
But who the hell knows anyone is going to get it at all.
I'm honestly
because
nervous.
In my rough cut right now, I don't think anybody's going to get it. I think we need to make a couple of changes.
Okay.
But it's we got 2 weeks. We have time.
It's always a risk.
But it's, I mean, oh, yeah, we got plenty of time.
But you know,
so I get that.
Yeah, and people do it with like the thing that oh my god, it makes me so angry. The thing that people do that I really think is like they don't realize that it's actually sucks of them to do this.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of out to slowly disseminate the information that like it sucks of you to do this and just don't do it. Is when I see it on social media a lot. There'll be some band that just released a new album, or they just released the first single off their new album, and they're like prolific. They have a few albums, whatever. And you'll get at least one or a few comments that say, I liked your old stuff better. I wish you would go back to sounding like that.
That's
shitty. Now, that person is not thinking about what they're saying.
Yeah.
Because if they really did, it's like, okay, so what do you expect them to do? Be like, you know, Jessica Smith from Fort Lauderdale likes our old stuff better, guys. We better start doing that again to please her.
Well,
it's like
you
this
become
weird
Godsmack.
Thought. It's this weird thought of clearly everybody feels the same way as me.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, they don't. And B, it's like, even if you don't like it, which is your prerogative, it's like, don't listen to it. And I mean, yeah, share your opinion. If people say, do you like this album? Be like, no, I don't like it. But
yeah, but
tell them
say
why.
And don't tell them say why, because the old stuff was better.
But don't tell the artist, because you know that fucking artist probably spent, you know, a year writing it, 6 months recording it. You know, they probably spent all this time, and they probably are really proud of it. And they probably put a lot of themselves into it. And it's like, for people to just be like, this isn't as good. It's just like, what is that doing? What are you accomplishing?
So the thing, okay, I kind of came to that same conclusion with, there were a lot of bands, Pearl Jam is specifically where I'm at with this. I gave up. I am not going to listen to a new Pearl Jam album until someone goes, have you heard the new Pearl Jam album?
I'll be that
Holy shit.
I'll be that guy.
That, because they go, six amazing albums, two shitty ones, one amazing album, two shitty ones, one okay album, and then I'm going to assume that it's going to be shit from now on. I don't know the direction that they're going in. I'm not a huge music guy, but I know I don't like it, and I'm not going to listen to it anymore.
And
I'm not going to go. If I ran into Eddie Vedder, I'm not going to say to him, I really wish that you sounded like your old stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say, I'm going to talk to him about all the things I love about that band, because whatever they're doing now, even though I don't like it, it doesn't cheapen the old stuff. It doesn't change it. Yeah. It's still the same music.
The older, the older I've gotten, the less, angry I get at bands for trying to change shit up.
Like
Linkin Park.
You have to.
Linkin Park has a new song out. It's called Heavy, and it's anything but heavy. It's really strange, very poppy and weird. I'm not a fan. I was heavy into music when they first came out, and I noticed them. I was like, oh, that's all right. And then I've listened to their progression on the radio pretty much.
Sure, sure.
And then the new song, I'm like, ooh, wow, they're trying something, whatever.
Yeah.
That's their deal.
With Pearl Jam, it's the same way. It's just like, all right, you know, do I want them to play something that sounds like the old stuff? Yes. Do I want every single fucking album to sound like Verses? No.
Yeah.
Because it gets boring.
You want them to progress.
I mean, I like a lot of the old stuff of bands because it represents a time as well. Like, speaking of heavy music, it comes to surprise a lot of people what the first bands I learned, like, first bands I focused on trying to learn how to, like, master their guitar playing.
Can I pump the brakes on you really quick? I usually, like...
So we gotta do two things.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. No, it's okay.
No, you're fine.
I broke the rules.
Yeah, so let's go with, it's a question we ask a lot. It's the first album you ever bought. When we're done with this, you're gonna play another song, and then we're gonna enjoy that.
Well... Let me stop you.
Don't. I'm drunk with power.
Whenever I meet any musician, no matter what, Shadow Witch was a beautiful representation of what I ask just musicians regularly, you know, without the microphones on, their influences, first off.
Yeah.
And then I like to ask what the first record they bought or album they bought.
Okay.
So your influences, please.
First stuff I was learning on how to play on guitar was probably grunge and really early kind of mainstream pop punk like Green Day.
Okay.
And then right around that time as well, the first three Metallica records. Huge influence on me, surprisingly enough. And also huge, to this day, huge Black Sabbath fan I am. Huge Black Sabbath fan. I think that particularly, like, Ozzy was part of the deal, cool, great. But particularly those three dudes, Tony Iommi, Geezer Butler, and Bill Ward, unbelievable musicians, like, rewrote a lot of shit, did stuff that people were like, I don't understand what they're doing. You know, they're, like, huge heroes of mine. But then a lot of stuff, that sounds really weird considering the music
Black
I make.
Black Sabbath was around in 1969, so they were probably gigging in 67, 68. I don't know too much about Sabbath.
Right.
You might know more.
Yeah.
But... That shit,
yeah, was beyond groundbreaking. I mean,
Zeppelin 1 came out in 67, I think.
Yeah,
so they were like, Led Zeppelin was supposed to be like, holy shit, this is so heavy.
Mm-hmm. Black Sabbath and was then Black right Sabbath around came the out. Corner.
Yeah. And most people, I mean, some people are at a different camp, but most people agree that Black Sabbath were the first true heavy metal band. They were the first, you know. You're in the other camp.
I'll say Cream.
You know, but they didn't sound like heavy metal.
They
I think they had that. Sure.
Which is why I think that
Black Sabbath was the first, like, definitive, like, right. This is heavy metal.
Yes.
Like, so to say that Cream was the missing link.
Yeah, definitely. And there were a lot of missing links.
The impetus, if you will.
And I'm a huge,
that's
you know,
probably the fourth time I've I love that. He just tried on this show.
He just tries to use impetus in every episode. So
great
he
word.
Sounds
great
smart.
Word.
He only
just
knows
sure
it because of
say,
Clutch.
Make sure you don't accidentally say impotent. And then also other influences range from, I mean, David Bowie, Elvis Costello, the Beatles, of course, Springsteen, a lot of '80s stuff. You know, Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel, Hall and Oates. You know,
his reaction so, yeah. is like nodding.
Really
nodding.
Weird stuff. Really weird stuff that a lot of people don't like, and I'm like, this is so good. I have a confession to make. I mean, I don't have any regrets about it, but it's a very dirty word. I was a really big emo kid in when I was in junior high and high school. He's grossed out. But, you know, and I'm talking not...
Hawthorne Heights.
No, nope, nope.
Come
way,
on.
Nope, way before that. You... no, I hated that band.
Every fucking... I associate emo with Hawthorne Heights.
Well, the problem is that that's...
But everybody who listened to emo hates Hawthorne Heights.
Well, the reason is because... I'm not going to take too long with this, but... That's actually what many call third wave emo or mainstreamo.
Okay.
And
mainstream.
I was into...
Jesus Christ, I feel so gross.
I was big into the second wave, like Midwestern emo stuff, like the Get Up Kids and the Promise Ring and Mineral. They were a lot more garagey and kind of lo-fi.
There's a band called the Promise Ring. Yeah. What a bunch of fucking douchebags.
They were great. They're a great band. They're great band.
They just, well, they had poor decisions.
The Get Up Kids.
They were kids. They were teenagers, you know.
The Get Up Kids, I can get behind them. I mean,
yeah, they were huge influence
huge
on me.
Not a huge fan, but...
Huge influence on me. Lyrically, I'd have to say, I mean, Springsteen is big for me lyrically, but also there's a band from Canada that it's hard to describe what
you mean
kind of
the old country.
Sure. It's hard to describe what kind of music they play, but they're called the Weaker Thens, and they're like almost a little twangy Americana, even though they're not American, with a little bit of like lighter punk. And insane lyrics. That guy is one of the best lyricists I've ever heard in my life. Huge, huge influence on me. First record I ever bought was with my own, you know, money. I was five, and it was 1991.
I didn't have my own money at five.
I think I asked for money. Yeah. I don't remember how I got it, but
I worked in a cornfield.
I remember how I got it. It must have been. I don't remember when it was. I may have been six. I don't remember. But I remember when I was about five, my sister coming home with her friend and running up the stairs, excited, making commotion. And I caught them. She had a cassette. And you remember those black plastic things, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And the store we used to buy stuff from in Oneonta, because I grew up way upstate from here, they used to take them off in most stores, but they didn't take those things off so the cassettes could sit on the shelf without falling
out. Yeah, yeah.
She was cracking the black plastic thing off. They were so excited, and they went in to her room, which was next to mine at the time. They put in this tape, and they played it so fucking loud, and it just goes, gang, gang,
gang, gang, gang, gang, gang,
the drums, ka-paka, ka-paka, and I was like, and it scared me. It was so heavy and loud and weird, and the guy was yelling, and I did not like it. And then a few days later, my sister caught me stealing that tape from her.
Your first album was Nevermind. Wow.
So I believe it was my next birthday.
Well done.
We used to get a little bit of like birthday money, and they would like we used to have to drive an hour to go to the nearest mall or record store or whatever. And I think I went at some point. I have vague memories of this, and I wanted that, and I had my sister help me find it. And my mom was really weirded out because she's like, "Why is there like a naked baby and you see a little like baby penis? Why is he buying this?" And you know, so that was my first album I bought. It was on
cassette. That's badass. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, mine That's sucks.
Fantastic one.
What's yours?
No, we talked about it last week. I was saying that we had talked about the first CD we ever bought, and mine was the Batman Forever soundtrack.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I had the Batman and Robin soundtrack.
Yeah. So that was the first CD I ever bought. But the first album I ever bought, I believe, was Aerosmith's Greatest Hits.
That's pretty cool.
On a cassette. But the same day, I mean, I'm counting like pick the first one up and then pick the second one up.
Right.
And I'm not counting the second one as my first one was Green Day Dookie.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I had that. I had
Everybody
that.
Had that
yeah, I had that on cassette. Yeah. My first CD was Something to Write Home About by the Get Up Kids. But,
hey, man.
That's better than the Batman Forever
soundtrack. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I'm a huge Nirvana fan still.
Can I say, out of all of that, the stuff that I hated the most, like. Your influences that I hate the most are the Beatles and Bruce Springsteen.
All right.
To each their own.
I know, I'm not a Beatles fan, but I appreciate what they've done, and I can definitely say that they've influenced. Whether or not you say the Beatles are an influence of yours, they influence someone who influenced you.
Of course.
Yeah. Sure.
Sure. I'm not happy about it, but yes.
Yeah, I just... I don't know.
I'm not a fan of their style of music, but their songwriting ability is incredible.
I have this hypothesis that if the Animals went on Sullivan before the Beatles went on Sullivan, maybe we'd be talking about the Animals.
Maybe. But I've listened to a lot of the Animals, and I didn't get nearly as much from them as I did from the Beatles. I mean, I'm a very, very like I'm the polar opposite. Like I have been known to say to the students at the high school I work at, like I was driving some kind of like trip or something in this one of the school vehicles, which was like a van, and I had the oldies radio on, and I think what song came on? Maybe not All My Loving, maybe it was one of their early songs, so it wasn't even one of their more experimental works. And I was like, please tell me you all know who this is. And they're like, it's the Beatles, right? And I was like, good. I don't have to kick any of you out of the car. And I said, They said, do you really like the Beatles? Are they like one of your favorites? And I said, I can sum up how I feel about the Beatles in one sentence. This was it. In my opinion, music is not ever going to get this good again. This is the best it's ever gotten, and it's never going to get that good again. That's how strongly I feel about them. But
I disagree.
That's fine.
I can't feel strongly. I will not. I refuse to feel strongly about any band like that.
All right.
Because I don't. I just do not think that music
is done.
Is done.
Yeah, I feel like you get in a rut.
That's me.
I feel like we hit that renaissance like every 10, 20 years.
Shit, man. Hip hop right now
is.
People are losing their fucking minds. They're just begging for someone. Chance the Rapper won a Grammy. The fucker's not even signed to a major label.
That's pretty
he
awesome,
thanked
though,
SoundCloud right? in his acceptance
that's,
speech.
That's pretty groundbreaking,
that's
though.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But
He sells out arenas, and he's just puts his music out on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Like...
That makes me happy, but I didn't know that until just...
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
I live under a rock. Well, I just got cable today again.
Too much money.
I honestly...
yeah, it's like $200.
I just found that out because I heard that he won the Grammy, right. And I was a guy I work with. He's very into hip-hop, and I was just like, what's up with this Chance the Rapper guy? And I've heard his name, I just don't know much about him. And he went into this huge thing. He's just like, listen, he's not even like my style of hip-hop, but... Son of a bitch. At least it's fucking honest.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the sentiment I'm getting from a lot of people who listen to hip-hop is that hip-hop now is just dog shit. You're sifting through piles of dog shit to find the tiniest nugget of gold. And that happened with rock. That's been happening with rock for a long time, in my opinion. I think now there's a lot of stuff out there that's good. But again, you're sifting. There's no real renaissance going on. But I think the saturation of it all buries the real solid shit.
That's a good point.
Out there.
That's a good point.
You know? And it's a shame.
Yeah.
But I don't think, have we met the next, have we met the next Beatles?
Yeah, sitting right
Maybe.
Here.
Maybe.
It's me.
Sitting right here.
I'm the
maybe.
let's hear that unreleased track.
Well, yeah, well, Frank has
well,
to go.
Well, let's find out.
So this is a song that isn't out yet. So you guys get a treat of hearing a song that's on a record that isn't out yet.
I got made fun of for using the word treat. You use a lot of words that I use.
I use a lot of weird words.
It's because you can't pull it off.
Yeah, he pulls it off really well, right?
He's holding a guitar. He's got a flannel on.
He says right on and doesn't sound weird.
People tell me that that I have some weird kind of Jimmy Stewart, like Mr. Rogers thing going on, so I can say things like swell and splendid.
Yeah,
and people are like, that works.
I don't go that far, but...
So this song...
It's just so wholesome.
This song will be on my next record that will come out someday.
We have a title for the record yet?
Yeah, the title is called... It's a long title. It's called Be Content With Your Light, Child, which is a reference it's a reference to the myth of Apollo and Daphne.
As long as it's not... Fiona Apple.
Oh, that, yeah. No, it's not a paragraph long, you know. All right, so this song, I'll just give a little context because it's nice to do that sometimes. I wanted to write a song because, you know, I've been through some tough things. We've all been through some tough things. Lost a parent, a lot of tough stuff with family and, you know, and we've all had some experience with some of that stuff. And the wild thing is that particularly when you're younger or before a lot of those big things kind of happen, you almost find yourself telling this mantra, like you're not one of those people that those things are going to happen to. Mm. Like those happen to like other people, like in like, you know, space somewhere. Like those aren't real things. Those aren't going to happen to me. And then they do. So I wanted to write a song about that idea. And I sort of decided I was going to write a song just sort of about general unmitigated life disaster and how and I wanted to write it as if it's this big mythical kind of thing that people almost talk about like folklore after it happens. And so this song is called Awfully. They said it came down with a breath and a shudder. The walls hit the ground, made a sound like no other. You said you wouldn't laugh at the rubble, but there you are in all of your splendor, holding up a hand to your stubble and holding back a terrible word. This is awfully. This is awfully. This is all say it got cold like a draft from an old door, and it'll be told around the fire like folklore. Honor us with all of their pity, feeling kind of sad for a minute. Walk away accomplished and gritty, but underneath their breath they will say this. This is awfully. This is awfully. This is all awfully stupid.
these kinds of things aren't supposed to happen to me. They happen to everyone.
Clap.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Way to bring down the show.
Yeah. bring down the emotions.
I'm sad now. I need to go get a pizza on my way home
to feel better. Yeah.
That's good, man.
Thank you.
Really good.
Thank you.
You have these interesting chord changes.
Yeah. I get
the
wonky.
The first song, I noticed it more. Yeah. This one, a little bit less, but.
Yeah, weird stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. I like that.
You know, I like to get a little. See what sounds different, see what sounds good. You know, you can play that chord progression. You can play it really straight.
Yeah.
G major.
Yep, this is how I would write the song.
Just E minor. Or you can throw in that major second there, or the nine, or whatever it is. And that octave, I think, would be the nine. You throw it in there.
And I'm out.
I was out from the beginning, so.
And you keep that whole thing going on top. Now you got that E minor down there, but you got all this stuff on top, kind of ringing it out. I'd say, honestly, my guitar playing style comes from before I started four-tracking and doing like layers like that. I didn't, you know, there weren't really musicians. I grew up in a town of less than 500 people up in the northern Catskills. And, you know, there weren't really other musicians. And eventually I found my friend John Clank, and we learned how to play guitar kind of together. We filled in gaps and learned other new stuff together, wrote together. But before that, I wanted to make it sound like there were as many people playing as possible at the same time. So I'd do all these little things where the chord changes would change underneath, and I'd do these little things on top. I wanted to make it sound like two guitars, you know?
Yeah.
So my whole guitar playing style was like, how do I make it sound like as many instruments are playing at the same time as possible?
Yeah.
So, you know, just experimentation and stuff.
It's cool, man.
Thank you.
Good for you. I feel like I have no talent now.
You got all kinds of talent. It's lots of stuff I can't do.
Yeah.
I press buttons and click things.
You did that video where you pulling me down the street in the chair. That was great. It was
on an
great.
Electric skateboard that I paid for.
All right, man.
Well, I think we're at the time of the show where we need to pick a title.
Yes. What are we going out on?
So let's just go with everyone follow us on all the social media.
Okay. And I'll do this.
And then hit the button. And we're off. So subscribe on YouTube.
Well, hold on. Let's promote Frank properly here.
Right. Oh, thanks.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. Let's pause this for a second, and I'll pick it back up. I did want to do this real quick. As a tribute.
Well, that's great. That's just fucking great, man. Now what
R.I.P.
the fuck are we supposed to do? We're some real pretty shit now, man.
I'm just even more sad now. And now I'm going to pay $3.99 to watch Aliens when I get home.
Bill. R.I.P. Bill.
Matthew
Bill
had a
Paxton.
Great story.
Yeah, I know. He's told me that one. That's Bill Paxton. It's like, no, it's not.
Thoughts and prayers.
Did you hear this fucking story?
Huh?
Matthew's working at Walmart, and his co-workers are like, dude, Bill Paxton's in aisle so-and-so. And he goes over there. He's like, that's Bill Pullman, you fucking
idiot. It's close. It's close.
And it was Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
So that's the story of the time Matthew almost met Bill Paxton.
But actually met Bill Pullman.
You were great in Casper, Bill Pullman.
So yeah, Bill Paxton, dead at the age of 61. Complications sad, from surgery. It's thoughts and sad. Prayers. Thoughts and prayers. It's terrible.
It is.
It is terrible. But what's not terrible is American Film History.
Thank you.
On Facebook. Facebook.com/ American Film History.
That is right. A shining endorsement.
Yeah, not terrible.
What is not terrible is American Film History.
AmericanFilmHistory.bandcamp.com. You could pick up the album there. Are you one of those guys who has a flat fee, or do you pay what
pay
you
what
want?
You want. Pay what you
I
want.
I love it. I love the pay what you want.
Yeah.
That means you could pay $50.
You, can pay
you should.
You could pay $1,000. It's fine.
$1,000.
I could use it.
Yeah. I'll get right on that. I already bought one.
It's true.
So, yeah.
When I went and supported him live.
Check those guys check those guys out. You have dates coming up.
Next date we're playing is March 18th at Pianos in New York City. And then the next local date is March 25th at Keegan Ales in Kingston.
Ah, ooh, beautiful.
I'd go to that.
Yeah, you should go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think there might be coming up someday soon and a cool thing that has to do with me and Record Store Day, National Record Store Day, falling on my 31st birthday this year.
There may be
a special
maybe.
Show going on that
is
celebrates my
be
birthday.
A cake?
I don't like cake.
Is it
so.
Gonna be gluten free?
I'm gonna bring it.
Well, if my friend,
I'm gonna bring a cake.
If my friend,
I'm gonna bring. No, he just said he doesn't.
I don't like
cake. And you're gluten free. Well, I'm gonna bring the glutiniest cake ever and just eat it.
Well, listen,
my friend hates cake.
My
too.
Friend Ted is also has to be gluten free. So
shout out
we'll
to
have
Ted.
We'll have a gluten free thing. So
shout out to Ted.
Thanks a lot, man.
So,
it was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
I really enjoyed the music, and you will have all of these videos if
great.
You should desire them.
Probably.
And they will be on YouTube very soon.
Sounds good.
We need to pick a
got,
title.
What we got for titles? We have, starting at the beginning, I Was Part of the Moisture. Seinfeld, the Anti-Drug.
That's a good one. You'll get sued, though.
Martin Can Go Shit in a Hat.
Martin Guitars.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yacht
That's a
rock.
Bold statement.
With yacht in parentheses.
Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock.
We Are Funny and a Little Bit Tough.
That's a good...
Objectify Their Own Subjectivity.
Ooh.
And Mainstreamo. So I'm between Yacht Rock and Mainstreamo.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think Yacht Rock is the way to go.
You like
considering
Yacht Rock?
I played music
on it. I would go Yacht Rock.
You got to keep that bit with the parentheses with the YAT in there.
Circle
though.
Yacht
maybe,
Rock?
Maybe we'll put a question mark in there.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, that'll work.
Oh, I'm doing that whole fucking thing?
Do that whole thing, yeah.
circle that, please. And hashtag mainstreamo.
Love it.
We had a wonderful time.
Yeah, man. It
right
was
on.
Great having you on.
Me too. I'll have to come back
absolutely
sometime.
Absolutely. Come back.
I'll come back and tell my Northern Catskills ghost stories.
Oh!
We forgot.
Fuck!
God damn it.
Was that supposed to be a thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
I actually set a reminder because Matthew told me.
Yeah.
And Siri is a dumb cunt, and it came up as Ask Rick About Ghost Stories.
About go stories?
Yeah, and your name is
Rick.
Apparently. Well,
listen,
I changed Siri to Australian,
and
it's been funnier, but it doesn't work as well.
Listen,
do you have
will...
to speak in an Australian accent?
No,
to
but
get
she's
it to...
Australian.
I will come
here,
back.
We'll just do it. Hey, Siri, can you say welcome? She's not going to say anything. Hey, Siri. Oh my god, you dumb bitch.
I'm done for you.
I missed it.
You are a dumb bitch. She's not. This is terrible. Hey Siri, you're a dumb bitch.
That doesn't sound good.
It's just, it's not even a good
Australian.
Yeah, it's not even
like
a good Australian accent.
It just sounds like Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, I just, And she's gotten exponentially worse since I changed to
Australian. Listen, I will come back, and that's like a whole new podcast worth of stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know what we need
to do?
We need to
have
Hudson Valley Legends come on, and we'll talk about some ghosts.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll have a joint.
Yeah, that should be fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I got some whoppers, so.
Yeah. Someone's going to have to sit in a chair, in one of those chairs, though.
Well, I was going to suggest that you bring the band on sometime,
right,
and maybe we just all talk.
Right.
I don't think we could have the whole band play.
My band,
here,
a lot of my bandmates don't love talking, so we'll have to see.
They seem kind
of
quiet. Yeah.
Yeah. They're a little
and
quiet.
One guy looks like Rico from
Starship Troopers. Yeah, Ryan.
Oh, I thought you meant Napoleon Dynamite.
No. Not Uncle Rico.
He looks like Rico from Starship Troopers. Which
he really does.
Which I really enjoy.
He really does look like him. It's crazy. Yeah. Square jaw.
Oh boy.
Well, I'm really glad, because we have never talked about that.
No,
but I'm really
Matt,
glad that you got that.
I got it. Well, Matt was like, your brother was like, I asked Adam, like, oh, who's playing with him these days? I don't even know who's, like, in his band. And he was like, well, all I know is he has one guy who looks like fucking Rico from Starship Troopers. And Matt told me that, and I was dying, because I hadn't even thought of it. I hadn't even thought of it.
He's got the hair and everything.
That,
it's
I was
exact.
Like, oh, my God, he really does look like him.
Holy shit. All right, well, that's a wrap.
I think, yeah, we can end it on that one.
Next
that was,
week,
that
we got Hudson Valley Tattoo Crew.
Yep.
Hudson Valley Tattoo Company
your
crew.
Ass live on the air.
All right.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
No, they're not going to do it. They already said they wouldn't do it.
Mm. I have a gift certificate to the Hudson Valley Tattoo Company, and I need to decide on what I want to get.
Dead
and
Radio
I
Podcast Ass Tattoo. You said you would do it.
I know I said I would do
I'll
it.
I'll do it too, just not on my ass.
Maybe I'll do it on my ass.
That'd be awesome.
I mean,
like I'll get it like on my arm or something. Like I'm not getting it on my ass.
I should get it. You
I'll,
know?
I'll fucking do it.
Because we've been doing this for 2 years.
Yeah,
so
it's almost 2 years worth of episodes.
It's a part of my life. But I also need another design. So maybe that could be a constructive thing that we do on the show next week.
All right.
Maybe have them draw a bunch of shit on the table.
Ooh, that sounds fun. All right, I really have to pee. And,
so it's arts and crafts next
and
week.
And Frank is about to turn into a pumpkin.
Oh.
I'll be fine.
All right.
But I also have to pee, so let's go.
All right. Bye, everyone. Till next
guys.
Week. Do all the Search Dead Radio podcast in the YouTubes and the Facebooks and the Instagrams.
Instagram is where it's at right now. You will see the stuff first on Instagram, and then a couple days later, a lot of it will be on YouTube.
So the checklist,
We did okay.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we did fine. I want to invert a few things, but we did all right.
All right.
I have to pee. I'm going to pee myself. I'm going to go.
Bye, everyone. Thank you for listening.